Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. For those of you tuning in to Davis Nemmer in the Morning, this is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. The guys will be back tomorrow morning with their regular program. I'm Tom Lyons, the host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard on Sunday mornings on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, at 7 a.m. or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. On today's show, we have special co-hosts for each hour, starting with Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. In the 6 o'clock hour, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs during the 7 o'clock hour, and Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard during the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also be speaking with Senator Klobuchar in the 7 o'clock hour and Governor Dayton in the 8 o'clock hour. And we'll be reading and remembering the names of our fallen Minnesota service members at 8:20 today. So as we get underway with our Memorial Day special, let's start with a Memorial Day message from the Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Vince Hokanen.
Well, the passage that I wanted to read to you today on this Memorial Day is Proverbs 27, verse 12. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And as our soldiers are preparing for battle, even in today's conflict, they prepare at length for mobilization, and they go to their training and prepare to engage the enemy that they're going to be facing in the operations. And any prudent person would want to prepare for any kind of battle. We often prepare our finances for our houses, and we borrow money for our cars, and we want to foresee those things that we might be facing in the future. And our country has always been the kind of country that foresees things, and our soldiers have always prepared for battle. And today we want to honor and memorialize those that have given their lives, who've prepared our nation for the prosperity that we see and that we experience today. And we want to honor those that have given their lives and the families that have sacrificed so much for the course of freedom and fighting for our justice. And we thank God for these things that he's given to us. And I wanted to offer a prayer on this Memorial Day. Heavenly Father, as we consider this Memorial Day, we want to recognize those soldiers and families that have gone before us and have given their lives in defense of our great nation. We honor their memory and sacrifice and thank you for their dedication and commitment to all Americans. We ask for strength for each day those who are serving abroad and for their families to help them endure the rigors of separation. Help us who are in the military here back home to do all we can to support our military families. We think of the millions of veterans out there who have fought in past wars and who have served their country faithfully, and ask you to bless them with health and prosper their futures. Help all of us to never forget the sacrifices our fighting men and women have paid on our behalf. Help us sense your presence each and every day as we continue to enjoy the freedoms our veterans have bought for us with their sacrifices and even their lives. God bless America. In your name I pray.
Thank you, Chaplain Hokanen. That's a nice way to start out our Memorial Day show this year. As I said, my name is Tom Lyons. I'm the host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard on Sunday mornings on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com or on our network of stations, 12 stations around Minnesota. My guest for our first hour today is Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Mr. Secretary, welcome to the program.
Great to see you again, and thanks again. This is a real tradition, taking this first hour here on Memorial Day. It's wonderful to be with you again.
It's our third year. You're an early riser, sir.
It's my time of the day.
And you get to stay with us the whole hour this morning.
Yes, that's right. And then I'll head off. We've got a lot of events today, a lot of things going on. Our state's really taking a lot of initiative this year with many different Memorial Day events. And, of course, because it's also that Gettysburg 150th anniversary, there's some special events.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the hour. Mr. Secretary, I think a lot of our citizens in Minnesota don't know you taught history at one time.
Well, I trained to be a high school history teacher and have that as a kind of a passion of my life. And fortunately, with my job, I get to be part of the board of the Minnesota Historical Society. The governor asked me to co-chair our Civil War 150th Commemorative Task Force. And, of course, the history of our nation is a history of service. And so Memorial Day is one of the kind of high points for anyone who has a passion for history for our nation.
And it was a busy year last year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
A lot of things going on. Mr. Secretary, we'd like to start the show today. It is Memorial Day. Can you give us a little background on the history and the origin of that day?
Yes, I guess it has a kind of a rough patch that got us started in that many of our veterans, Union Army veterans from our Civil War, had seen that our nation had times had forgotten our soldiers, our veterans, after Revolutionary War and after other engagements. Sometimes as a nation, we went back to our daily business, and the commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was the name of the organization of our Union soldiers, was worried that we would not be remembering our soldiers. And so he built upon a local, there have been some local areas where people had begun to go and place flowers on the grave sites of our soldiers who had died and who had fought, and began the process of saying we should have a national day, that we should recognize a national day. And in the beginning, it was mostly about decorating graves. But what the Grand Army of the Republic was important for them was to become part of a national program to always remember our veterans. So in 1868, that leader, John Logan at the time, General John Logan, of the Grand Army of the Republic said we should have a national day, Decoration Day, that we should observe it every year. And what I think is important about it even today is that it is the one time in the day where we honor all who've fallen in service of our nation. And I think that's a very important moment. And I'm pleased that Minnesota has such a great tradition, but also especially today and as we look forward, we use this as a recommitment to all of our soldiers, all who've served, and Memorial Day is a great opportunity to just to remember that, take a few moments and to remember that each and every year.
Mr. Secretary, when we look back at the Civil War, and I'm looking at some numbers now, there were almost 650,000 soldiers that were wounded or killed, 225,000 killed almost. Back in those days, that was a huge percentage of the population of the United States.
Yes, and because so many soldiers often came together with their friends and their colleagues and their brothers and others from their hometown, some towns would lose entire young adult population of their men because as a whole unit, they would go into a battle. It's very famous, the story of the Minnesota First, which lost almost 80% of their soldiers in one engagement in the middle of that Gettysburg battle. So the impact on the nation and the impact on states and on local communities could not be overstated. And I think that was one of the motivations for General Logan, was this really, really impacted the nation. We must never forget.
And Mr. Secretary, because of that, there were a lot of folks visiting cemeteries, and that's where Decoration Day came from. And they weren't just visiting for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They were taking a picnic lunch, weren't they?
That's right. And they were attending to those grave sites and remembering and also trying to pass to that next generation who maybe had not experienced that Civil War and all of the way that affected, to make sure that those who come behind us, our children and their children, would also have an understanding of the importance of that sacrifice.
So, Mr. Secretary, when did the government declare Decoration Day, and how did it evolve into Memorial Day for us?
Well, there's a lot of debate about what town really started it. And actually, Lyndon Johnson had a commission because they really wanted to say, what was that place or what should it be? But the first parade, we know, 1868, they began moving forward with lots of different things. In the early 1900s, a lot of different places were holding those events, and they became part of really nationally known as the 50th anniversary of some of those big battles took place, Gettysburg. So it began to be officially a uniform day in 1968, and that's when we began using the term Memorial Day throughout the nation.
So, Mr. Secretary, we bring it fast forward to today. It's we've changed it. It's going to be May 31st each year. It's Memorial Day. Do you suppose the tradition of barbecuing and some of those things came from back when in Civil War, when they went to the cemeteries and had a picnic?
I don't know, but I think that there's been some concern that instead of defining this special weekend as a time of remembrance, it's sometimes described as the beginning of summer. And so it diminishes a bit the importance of remembering our veterans and those who've sacrificed for our nation, and it tends to link it a little more with what we think of as our summer activities, going to the cabin, going to the lake, barbecuing. But I think in many ways, what's important is that as a nation that we kind of together say we are going to take time out from our busy, busy lives of work and school and all those things, and we're going to reflect a little bit. And if a barbecue and gathering the family is a way to bring people together, as long as they're also using that time and telling some of those family stories of those who've come before us and talking about the young people in our lives who are in military service today. So I think we can have it as the start of summer, as long as we don't forget what Memorial Day really started and continues to be today, remembrance of those who sacrificed for this great nation.
Thank you, sir. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some events around the state and the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg. This is the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be right back.
To those families who made the greatest sacrifice, thank you. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is our special Memorial Day edition. I'm here with Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, and we've been talking about the history and origins of Memorial Day. And now, Mr. Secretary, I'd like to just point out a few of the events coming up around the state, and then we'll get to Gettysburg in a minute.
Absolutely. And there's some very good, complete list. Star Tribune Saturday's paper had a very good list, and also on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But we got some really great things coming, and they really start early in the day, and they run all the way through the day, 9 a.m. down at the Veterans Homes in Hastings. The ceremony will start there at 9. At 10 o'clock in Mendota Heights there at the Acacia Park Cemetery, Colonel Matt Batter will be there, and that'll be one of the early ones of the day. Retired Major General Harry Sieben, one of the key leaders from military life in Minnesota and also our ambassador from the U.S. Army, will be at Hillside Cemetery there in northeast Minneapolis at 10 o'clock today. And he'll also, again, later in the day, we'll be at another event at Glen Haven Memorial Gardens, which is in Crystal. That one will be at 1 o'clock, so a little bit later in the, a little bit later in the day, 10:30 a.m. Really across the street from where I live, Lakewood Cemetery. This will be one of the major events, looking especially at Gettysburg and the 150th ceremony. So that's Lakewood Cemetery there in South Minneapolis. Minnesota Veterans Home, very special event today, 2 o'clock. Our Veterans Affairs Commissioner, Larry Shalito, who will be the co-host here at the 7 o'clock hour, will be there. A lot of special events happening at that Minnesota Veterans Home at 2 o'clock today. At the same time, our current Adjutant General, Richard Nash, often guests here on the show, will be at the 2 o'clock event at the Richfield Memorial, and they're going to be unveiling a big addition to their granite tablets, a very special display there in Richfield, and that'll be at 2 o'clock. So throughout the day, early to late, near your homes, your listeners can find a Memorial Day event that will just be a really important way of reconnecting with both our state's history, a local community's history, and the sacrifice and the great contribution of so many people who've come before us.
And that list of activities was in the Saturday Star Tribune. We'll have a link to that and also a link to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website that has a complete list on our Facebook page at Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Secretary, I'm amazed. The last few years I've gotten to meet a lot of generals, a lot of retired generals from the state. They may officially retire, but they just keep going, don't they?
Oh, we are so blessed. I think that's something else, is those who've been in our nation's military service, like so many others, think of service as a lifelong activity. And yes, they may tell you you must retire or whatever, but we are giving people, we're people who care about our opportunities. And of course, Memorial Day being one of the most central ways that we can share those values with the next generation. So we're very fortunate. And of course, many of our military leaders, our generals, have come from families who have service going back many, many generations. So it's also built into the culture of our whole community.
Now, just in the last week, we had a couple of Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf tournaments, some mini ones. And retired General Brigadier General Denny Schulstead was at one of them helping, and retired General Brigadier General Joe Kelly was at another one. Retired General John Trost is working a third one, and now we see retired Major General Harry Sieben going to speak a couple of times
today. We're going to need a new word rather than retire. That just doesn't work anymore.
They aren't quite retired, are they? They just keep going. Mr. Secretary, I wanted to get back to Gettysburg since it's the 150th anniversary, and that's kind of the era when Memorial Day started. I want to start that discussion with a clip from our very first show when we were on the air 2.5 years ago. Stephen, can you tell us what happened to the regiment at Gettysburg?
Well, unfortunately, the regiment was almost destroyed at Gettysburg. On the second day of the battle, July 2nd, 1863, the Union Army was being pushed back along Cemetery Ridge. The Third Corps had advanced too far, and over the course of about 3 or 4 hours, they were steadily pushed back. Standing on a high piece of ground on Cemetery Ridge was the 1st Minnesota, about 275 men watching this huge battle move ever closer to them. Soon there were other soldiers running through their ranks, fleeing the Confederates. At the last minute, a general rode up and said, "See those Confederate flags? Go capture them." Colonel Colville of the 1st led them down the hill, and within about 30 minutes, 83% of that unit was killed or wounded. Only 47 men managed to walk off the field without being wounded. It totally destroyed the regiment.
In case you just tuned in, this is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Davis Nemery will be back tomorrow morning. Mr. Secretary, that was Stephen Osmond, another retired guy from the Minnesota Historical Society who's a frequent guest on this show, and he was telling us about Gettysburg and the Civil War. That was brutal for its time, wasn't it?
Yes, and Stephen, of course, is our preeminent historian from that period, and I think it's very appropriate because, as you mentioned, it is that link to those soldiers from our Civil War that really got Decoration Day, now called Memorial Day, going. But I think he was making a very important point that not only were Minnesotans critical in the very first part of the war, we were the first. That same regiment, the Minnesota 1st, were the first soldiers who volunteered when President Lincoln said, "I need soldiers to defend the Union, defend the Constitution, to defend the nation." They were the first in the nation. But they fought in every major battle all the way through the war and were this critical element. Many, many historians of the period have said that defense of that line at that moment saved the line, saved the army, saved the battle, saved the Union. So we know that they played a very important role. And so it's appropriate that as Minnesotans, we're gearing up for that 150th. There'll be a busload of people going out and another busload meeting up in Gettysburg in just a few weeks for that special occasion. Be a lot of Minnesotans and special Minnesota events there, of course. Minnesota was also the home of the last Union soldier to die in 1956. Your listeners can get all the background at the main website of Minnesota's 150th Civil War Commemorative Task Force, mencivilwar150.com. That's just mencivilwar150.com. But I guess it's that that opportunity to reflect on Gettysburg, the whole Civil War experience. It's also a way to remind us that we are committed as a nation to be a nation indivisible. Memorial Day is a good day to remember that.
Mr. Secretary, we've talked about this before, but the Battle at Gettysburg was a pivotal battle in the Civil War. And you've just mentioned what an important part that the 1st Minnesota played. We took just terrible, terrible losses in that battle, didn't we?
Yeah, and as they analyze it, that loss of 82% of those soldiers in that engagement was the highest loss by any Union of any Union regiment in the entire war. So there were, of course, you mentioned over 600,000 casualties in the war. This was devastating to the whole nation. But that one engagement that we just mentioned was in fact the highest loss of any regiment in any engagement in the entire war. And I think it's important that all Minnesotans know this part of our history and remember and honor it. And today's a special day to do that.
And Mr. Secretary, one other thing that their listeners can think about is our historic Fort Snelling. And you can go to historicfortsnelling.com. Chaplain Beal, who's going to be at the Minnesota Veterans Home this morning, is the chaplain out at the Fort Snelling Chapel. And during the summertime on Sundays, he's got an 11 o'clock service that's multi-denominational. And so if you wanted to have your own little picnic, go out there, go to service, you could go over to Fort Snelling. They've got a whole list of activities for the summer. You could learn a lot about the First Minnesota and a lot of other things.
Absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely. And they're open today, 10 to 5, very special events going on there today. And, of course, Fort Snelling is a one of those real national treasures that we have right here in our backyard, right by the airport.
And it's something everybody should go out and see.
Absolutely.
A lot of activities, once again. And Mr. Secretary, any final thoughts about the Battle of Gettysburg?
I just think today is a chance to remember all of our soldiers and all who've sacrificed for our nation. But the Civil War in Gettysburg was an especially important point in our nation, pivotal point in our nation's history. So maybe just pull out one of those Gettysburg books or find one of those Gettysburg movies on Netflix or take a moment to think about that Civil War. It's a very special part of the Minnesota story. And then share that with your children and with the young people in your life.
I wish our listeners could see your face because I think the history teacher just came out.
Absolutely. Can't help it sometimes. History. I just can't help it.
Mr. Secretary, we're going to have to take another break. When we come back, we're going to visit with a couple of folks that have events going on today out at Burl Oaks and the great big event up in Brainerd that we need to learn about. For those of you that just joined us, this is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, sitting in for Davis Nemer in the morning. The guys will be back tomorrow morning with their normal show, but stay with us. We've got some great guests coming up. We've got Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for the second hour and Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg in the third hour, and we'll also hear from Senator Klobuchar, Governor Dayton, and at 8:20 today, we'll be reading and remembering the names of our fallen Minnesota service members. So please stay with us for this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host for this hour is Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Joining us now is Scott Lear from Burl Oaks. Scott, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Scott, I think this is the third year that you're doing a Memorial Day fundraiser.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me a little about it?
Well, I'm on the first tee starting our groups today, and each person on the tee pretty much will donate anywhere from, $10 to $100 a player, and at the end of the day, we've kind of raised about $5,000 a year, hopefully, and hopefully we can do that again this year.
Scott, how's the weather looking for you today?
A little chilly, a little breezy, but we should stay dry.
You're going to get a lot of golf in today, and you're going to raise a lot of money for a good cause.
That's our goal. Yeah, exactly. Minnesota charity, and absolutely fitting for a Memorial Day.
So on Memorial Day, you're out there talking to all your members and everybody teeing off, raising money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, which gives out grants to our Minnesota military families in time of financial emergency as a result of their service to our country.
Yep, you are correct.
Scott, I really appreciate your calling in today and the work that you've done out there each year. And we look forward to a great report, and I hope the sky is clear for you today.
Thank you very much, and it is our pleasure. Thanks to all the veterans and their families.
Thanks for joining us today, Scott.
Okay, take care.
That was Scott Lear from Burl Oaks Golf Club for the third year in a row raising some money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And Mr. Secretary, you've joined us each year for the Golf Classic in August over at Tartan Park. It's quite an event, and we raise money for a good cause.
Well, and people are also just re-energized when they come in. You know, they've had a good day of golf, but they've also helped raise money. And then there's some dramatic stories, and that Tartan, they just do such a great opportunity, such a great event. So I really like being there, got it locked into the schedule. Of course, by August, it ought to be warmed up a little bit, so we'll have a good day.
I think winter will be over, Mr. Secretary?
I'm hoping.
There, you've heard it right here from Secretary of State. Winter will be over by August. Mr. Secretary, we have another guest with us, Dutch Cragen from Cragen's at Gull Lake up in Brainerd. Dutch, good morning.
Good morning to you.
We got you up early today to talk about your big Memorial Day weekend for veterans.
Well, we had a great day yesterday. It was windy, cool, and so on. But we had several hundred people after the parade by the Brainerd High School Band and the sirens and the fire engines and so on. And then we had our two colonels from Camp Ripley, Colonel Savier and Cruzy, both were there. Cruzy gave a great speech, and we had several other participants as well. And so then after that, the silent auction raised about $3,000 or $4,000 with people who are donating their money and time to the Families with the Yellow Ribbon program down in Camp Ripley. And we were really excited, too, about the golfers that we gave some time because we were really plugged up the rest of the week. So this is our sixth or seventh year that we've been giving away free golf. So we had about 30 or 40 golfers yesterday. Today, we are plumb full until 5 o'clock. But there's some spaces if golfers want to come up, play about 9 holes or so. There's plenty of sunlight, and it's right now we don't yet have rain. So we expect at least 450 veterans from all branches of the service to take advantage of our free golf program. It's been growing every year, and we're excited about that, too.
Free golf for veterans and discounted rates for family and friends. And what did you say? Is this your fourth year of doing the Family Fun Days?
We started pretty quietly about 7 or 8 years ago. But it's been gaining speed. And, of course, as we have veterans talk to each other about it, we did a booklet of past veteran participants so that they have a record of other veterans they can call to go out and play golf. And we have a veterans program all summer, a reduced rate. It's call in. It's, I think, $10 per person for the golf cart. That's it. So a lot of veterans are coming later in the year. But today, we've got 400-plus braving the elements, and there's still some times at 5 for those who want to just have a curtailed tea time. But we had a good program yesterday, a lot of fun. Today is time for memory, but the golfers are so happy to be recognized is what our theme that we've heard over and over.
And, Dutch, thank you for your service in the Korean War.
Well, listen, I just one of many, and, you know, like we didn't have praise when we came home, so this is kind of a pleasure for me, too, to meet guys that in the same bracket. And we still have some World War II veterans, not many, but, of course, the larger numbers of Korean and Vietnam. So we're catching guys from Coast Guard, everywhere, coming in with their pelt. And they can bring non-veterans to fill out as well, and so several have, so they don't have to be all four veterans in a foursome. But they're the ones who call. And here's the number to call, 825-825-2789, to get some more times in this afternoon. And then we are filled for the week, so the calls can come in after that throughout the summer for that Veterans Tea Time. So we hope that everybody has a great day today.
Dutch, I know you've been helping our veterans quietly for years because we've had a lot of conventions up there and a lot of other things at a discount. And next weekend, the Ride for Healing is going to culminate in Brainerd, and there's some big events up there and some things happening in Craigens, and we're going to have out at the Brainerd Fairgrounds, we're going to have the traveling Vietnam Memorial Wall and a big 2-hour event out there. And you and Catherine have been quite busy supporting that.
But I have to give most of the credit to Catherine to pull the VFW in, and they have really done a yeoman job in getting their various branches throughout the state. And they're starting from Four Corners and hitting as many posts as they can, and then ultimately combining on Thursday up at the Visitor Center and escorting that wall up into the Crow Wing County Fairgrounds on Thursday late afternoon. So from there until Sunday is viewing time, and there'll be booklets, and every booklet will have tracing paper for those who want to pick a name out. There's, I've forgotten how many hundred of Minnesota veterans in that wall. But they can trace a friend and carry that booklet as a memory. It's a lovely piece that you just got to have if you're tied in with the Vietnam War.
Dutch, thank you for all your support for our troops and our families, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next weekend.
Okay, my friend.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Dutch Cragen from Cragen's on Gull Lake, and they have Cragen's Family Fun Days for veterans all weekend. Sounds like if you want to get 9 in after 5 o'clock, you can still get up there. We have to take, Mr. Secretary, we have to take a short break once again. This is a special edition, Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Secretary of State Ritchie about our employing our veterans as they return from deployments. Please stay with us. For those of you just tuning in for Davis Nemmer in the Morning, welcome to a special edition of Memorial Day Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined this hour by my special co-host, Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Secretary Ritchie, the Minnesota National Guard, 34th Infantry Red Bulls, a couple of years ago deployed what was at that time the largest deployment in their history, 2,700 soldiers over to Kuwait. And they did some research before those soldiers went, a lot of research on a lot of things, but one of the things indicated that there were quite a few of those soldiers coming back that were going to be looking for work. And as I understand it, the figure was in like 27-28%.
That's right.
And so the Adjutant General, the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash, put together a program with local businesses and to help those soldiers get ready to come back. And we've got a few clips of that. One was from Colonel Kurska, who was the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division, and then a few quick ones from Jim Finley, from Minnesota's Department of Employment and Economic Development. Let's listen to those clips.
Back in November of 2011, we had done a poll inside the brigade to find out how many unemployed we had. And it was reported back that 28% of the brigade was unemployed. So we quickly got to work. General Nash came over to visit. General Nash and I discussed, some things that we could do. Inside the brigade, we had lots of HR-type people, people that had written resumes, people that sat on interview panels. So we paired these people up with our unemployed soldiers and got to work, made them write a resume, did hundreds and thousands of mock interviews. And then General Nash, along with Governor Dayton, put together a team and sent them to Kuwait. As far as I know, the first time that's been done. The Army didn't really know how to react to that corporate America from Minnesota was coming over. And so they sent representatives from the Minnesota Department of Employment Economic Development, Minnesota State College and Universities, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Best Buy Corporation, U.S. Bank, Target, the St. Paul Chamber of Commerce all came over. And so the soldiers showed up with the resumes that we'd written, and now these experts took over and refined that process. We got back 30-60-90, that training continued, and all those pieces and parts put together we're down to 6% unemployment in the brigade less than a year later. So 28% down to 6%.
Our goal was to make things different for this group that came back than it had been for previous soldiers or service members that had come back, particularly during the economic issues we had 07, 08, 09. So the group's purpose was to provide some training and some tools to make these soldiers competitive when they came back. In addition to two workshops a day, we also did one-on-one sessions in the evening, and we all felt that's where we really provided some great value for these soldiers, because the corporate professionals, Marvin and Chris and Bruce, were able to sit down and really talk turkey with these guys, as Chris explained, about what they're looking for. My veterans employment staff are great subject matter experts on writing resumes and doing job search, but to get this information from corporate executives, they couldn't have paid anybody for. The fact of the matter is soldiers and service members don't always make the best interviews. They are struggling with translating their military skills and abilities into terms that civilians can understand, not only in an interview, but also in resumes. So that was another one of our goals, to help them civilianize those resumes and the way they talk with employers. The fact of the matter is these soldiers make great employees because of some of the very basic skills that they learn in the military, and it goes beyond teamwork and leadership, which are obvious ones. They talk about the fact that they are used to, the U.S. military is the most diverse workforce in the world, so they're used to including everyone in the military. If you can do your job and do it competently as part of a team, it doesn't make much difference anything else, whether you're male or female or what race you are or anything else. So it's a great set of folks, or a great group of folks, for Minnesota business, and we're really looking forward to getting them home.
Mr. Secretary, I think it's appropriate to play these clips on Memorial Day. I know we're talking about our fallen heroes, but in Minnesota, we work pretty hard to take care of our soldiers and airmen and servicemen that are deployed. And in this particular case, we had 2,700 soldiers deployed for a year to Kuwait to help draw down our forces out of Iraq. And we knew that we had a problem in terms of employment, a lot of folks coming back looking for work. And this was an unprecedented event, and I know that you were involved in it.
Absolutely, and we also have Minnesota businesses who need and must find these incredible leaders, these skilled people who are coming through and part of our military here in Minnesota. So the win-win of helping those soldiers who are looking, not only just unemployed, but those who are looking to advance their careers, and the Minnesota companies who need those leaders to continue to grow and to prosper themselves. That was a really important link. One of the things that happened was that it raised the consciousness of many of our companies about the sort of necessity to think maybe differently. And some of those companies assigned some specific staff because that need to see how does training in the military match some of the civilian training and certification. So those things happen. We also found that a number of those soldiers also were business people, owned a business, wanted to grow their business, or wanted to start their own business. There's also been some real advances. In fact, Minnesota now is in the nation number 5 in terms of certified veteran-owned businesses, something I think we're a small state. So for us to have that kind of ranking is an important thing. But what happened out of that whole experience was we took a crisis situation of some very high unemployment or underemployment numbers and said, hey, we can do something about this. The end result is that unemployment among those soldiers came down well below the statewide average. But the consciousness of our companies, of our employers really changed. And I feel like today is an appropriate way to say that that's one part of how we remember and recognize. But all of those Minnesota companies have gotten some fantastic new leaders, new employees inside of their organizations. And you can see the positive benefits for the whole state because those young leaders who've come through military now have a solid place in our companies here in Minnesota.
Mr. Secretary, there were a couple of basic things that happened on that employment resource team. Number one was a lot of these soldiers that were deployed, no matter what their job was when they left, they might have been in charge of 50, 60, 70 soldiers. They might have, and they were in a battle zone. They were out doing some pretty important things. And when they came back, that leadership experience is important. But how do we translate that to paper so that the employers in Minnesota understand it? And then secondly, how do you write up a resume and how do you get prepared and how do you get out in front of this?
Exactly.
My understanding that a lot of them, when they were going through the reintegration training, had already had job offers as a result of this program.
Well, and that was the thing that was special, was sending that team from Minnesota Business, from the Chamber, from Economic Development over to Kuwait really was unprecedented. But we've also had a number of job fairs and follow-up events back here in Minnesota to kind of add to that. And again, expanding the number of businesses who get it, that these are our finest leaders coming back and they could be a huge asset to those companies. So we were able to make it both something good for the soldiers, but also really good for those Minnesota companies who need those leaders.
And it's great to see that as Secretary of State, you had an opportunity to help and you were in there with both feet, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Mr. Secretary, it is Memorial Day. It's going to be a busy day. Where are you going from here?
Well, I'm really very fortunate in having a number of opportunities today, but I'll go right from here up to St. Cloud. You know, we have a very important veterans hospital there. The big one, yes, is in Minneapolis, but St. Cloud is our other large facility, and that's a very important Memorial Day event, and I always go. And then I'll head back and try to make sure that I catch two things. One, Lakewood Across, which is right by where I live, and then this afternoon at the Veterans Home in Minneapolis. General Shalito will be there, and you'll be able to talk to him a little more about that. And then Snelling, I always like to go to Fort Snelling at some point in the day. There are activities there till 5, so probably at the very end of the day I'll catch some of that. And if I can then take some time and just go over to the cemetery itself right there. And then I have a couple individual grave sites that are just part of me and my family, my personal life, and I catch that at the end of the day. So it'll be a a long day, but a really good day, and a wonderful to start it with you here at 6 a.m. This is really great. Thank you again.
Mr. Secretary, we've got quite a tradition, three years in a row of you starting your Memorial Day with us.
I'm looking forward to next year.
So am I, sir. Thanks for stopping by today. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, our co-host for the second hour will be Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Senator Klobuchar in the 8 o'clock hour. Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg from the Minnesota National Guard will be our co-host, and we'll have an opportunity to talk to the governor. And don't forget that we'll be reading and remembering the names of our fallen Minnesota service members at 8:20 today. This is the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.